Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies All 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington as well, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team.
We have Mike on. Is he on?
Let's see.
Mike
Rizzo does join us, the Nats GM, as we go in the clubhouse. Brought to you by Burke and Herbert Bank. Unexpectedly different. We love Burke and Herbert Bank, and we love Mike Rizzo. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, guys. I'm here.
Good morning,
you
Mike.
You are definitely there, pal.
And it's a different week. Been, you know, sort of, I think the inevitable, maybe a little cold swell has hit, right? What have they lost? Five of six, six of seven, something like that.
Lost the series to the Mets, followed by the series to the Braves.
And the bats, it seems like, in particular, of late, cooled off a little bit. What can we do to jump out of this here, Mike?
Well, you know, sometimes you got to tip your hat to some of the pitching that we faced. And I know that's old, that's tired kind of a reasoning, but face some good pitchers, and yeah, we've cooled off a little bit, and we just got to stay aggressive. We got to hunt more fastballs and be aggressive against these guys, and you know, when you're not hitting the ball out of the ballpark, you have to start manufacturing runs a little bit better, play more efficient baseball offensively, and just kind of get back to your old ways of grinding them out and, you know, try and run up pitch counts to those good starting pitchers and see if you can scratch out some runs when your lineup isn't flourishing like it had been for about 3 months of the last
yeah.
3 months or so.
I mean, just on fire. It just stinks that it kind of comes at this time, right, when you have so many, such a tough part of the schedule coming up.
Yeah, it's a bear of a schedule, and you know, we knew going into this thing that you know, our division and you know, these playoff races were going to be we're going to be difficult, and you know, we'd like the position we're in right now. We're still grinding out and, you know, trying to win every game, and you know, you run into a couple of first place teams in a row, and you know, you have to play good baseball to beat these teams, and you know, right now we're not stringing together some big hits, and you know, like that Atlanta series, we lost 3 out of 4, but you know, we were 1 or 2 big hits away from taking 3 out of 4. So, you know, that's how razor thin these the competition is with ourselves and some of these, you know, really good teams. And you just have to get a big hit when you need to, and you know, grind out the rest of them and try to scratch together some runs against these pitchers. Now, you know, you're running into guys like Barrios last night was terrific. He's a great pitcher that we don't see very often. And, you know, then you run through that the Braves gauntlet of starting pitchers and the Mets. So, you know, it's been challenging. And, you know, we love the challenge. These guys love playing against the best. And you have to be prepared and aggressive and really being at your best to beat these guys.
Mike, when you face a pitcher like Barrios, who it's an interleague situation and you're only going to see him once for the entire year, obviously it's different than when you're facing the Phillies or the Braves. You know those guys. How much work do the guys put in off the field to study a guy when they're only going to see him once?
It's a lot of work. It's a really busy, you know, the first day of each series is the busiest day of the series because that's when you're doing all your advanced reports. We have our advanced scout come in and our advanced video guys are putting together the presentation to introduce this new team, especially a team that nobody's ever seen Barrios. Very few players on our team have seen Barrios in the past. So this guy was brand new to us. We did a lot of work and a lot of advance work and a lot of video work for preparation to the game. And it was this guy's an all-star caliber pitcher and really had three pitches going last night. He's got power fastball. He's got as good a curveball as any right-handed pitcher in the game and a great changeup and threw strikes. So hey. Sanchez matched some pitch for pitch till the seventh, and he made the first mistake, and we paid for it. And it's hard to win games when you have two hits, so that's kind of the way we looked at it last night. Our goal is, like it is every series, is to win series, and we have a chance tonight to even it with Strauss on the mound. Whenever Strauss pitches, I like my chances.
Mike, did Baseball Insiders expect this Twins team to be as good as they are? They've got a five-game lead in the AL Central. They have a +173 run differential. Did they kind of come out of nowhere? Is this like a year early arrival for the Twins?
Okay, you and I didn't because we bet over 84
That's
and
true.
A half wins.
We're Sears, but we're Sears, Jason.
Yeah, exactly.
They're a little bit different.
Yeah, I think that they did a lot of work in the off season. They kind of constructed this team a little bit differently. They went for value and some bangers of power hitters and I think they've reaped great results from it and it's a good young aggressive front office and Rocco Baldelli is a really good young manager, and I think that they have snuck up on a couple of people in this, talking to people in the American League Central, and obviously the Indians were the prohibitive favorite going into this thing, and I think the real surprise of the Twins is the way they're pitching. Their starting pitching is really kind of come into shape, and I think they're playing extremely well right now.
And they've got eight guys who have 20 or more homers. I mean, that's just sick.
Yeah, they're really kind of a throwback team to those teams that really bang, and it's a good ballpark to hit in, and it's a team that can do damage quickly, and they have long ball capabilities, and they're a team that sees a lot of pitches, doesn't strike out all that much for as much power as they have, and can make you pay for a bad pitch quickly.
All right, so we mentioned the wild card lead. You got 19 games to play. All right, and you've said it before. You got to play who you got to play. And you're 2.5 up on Chicago. Chicago's not playing great, and they're banged up. They just lost Baez. Their bullpen's banged up. They're 4-6 in their last 10. The Brewers have won 5 straight, but they just lose Yelich. All right. The Phillies are, you got a 4.5 game lead over the Phillies. Now, the Phillies could make it interesting because you play them 5 more times. But right now, just based on the guys who are chasing you, the D-backs were in the mix for a while, but they've lost 3 straight. I would feel pretty good, Mike, right now. I mean, anything can happen. I get it. But even though there's 19 games to play, I think the 2.5 is a pretty decent cushion, considering the way these teams are playing and the situations they're in.
Yeah, we like this team. We think it's a playoff caliber team. We think it's a team that could go deep into the playoffs. We're seriously, guys, we're taking this one game at a time. We got a big game tonight, I'll leave the clubhouse before the game tonight and tell the boys the biggest game of the year, like I tell them every night. We play each game to win, and we'll see where the chips fall at the end of the season. But like you said, we like our chances as much as anybody. We think we're as good as anybody in the playoffs, and we'll take our chances. We've played extremely well for the last 3.5 months to get to where we're at right now, and I think that we need to make a big push here to finish strong and to get some momentum and start having aspirations beyond that. But as of today, we're focused in on winning tonight with Strauss, and then we'll take it from there. That way, when you win your game, you don't have to worry about, you don't have to look at the scoreboard, you don't have to worry about what other teams
Nobody
are doing.
Nobody can gain on
you. Care of your business.
Nobody can gain on you. Hey, just go 10-9, Mike. 10-9. That's what I need.
That's all you need.
10-9.
That's all we need.
10-9 will get it done
for
you.
It's hugely important. You don't even know.
We're joined by Mike Rizzo, President GM of the Washington Nationals, as we go in the clubhouse. I'm actually wondering, what are your day-to-day responsibilities now? Because the trade deadline passed. What does Mike Rizzo do day-to-day now as the GM of the team?
Well, you know, like we always talk about, we're focused in, you know, beyond, you know, my thought process is always on today's game, today's season, but looking beyond that, you know, we're right now in a budgeting process. You know, we're looking forward to the 2020, you know, season and, you know, all the business that, that we have to do with that. We're trying to, you know, to rehire and retain our, you know, really good employees and, you know, guys whose contracts are up at the end of this season. We're talking to them, and so we're making plans for next year, and that takes most of the day. And then you worry about and do your daily business of you know what we have to do to win today's game and for the rest of this season. We're making preparations for scouting, you know, beyond the regular season. So we're making those assignments, and you know it. It's really a real busy time because you know you're not only doing today's business, but you're looking, you know, down the road for future seasons and specifically for 2020.
Mike, I know we've asked you about Rendon a million times. Not going to go there, but is there any concern about Strasburg opting out, considering the year he's had? He does got a bunch of money coming to him. I mean, his last year of his deal, he's got $43 million, I think. I mean, That's just dumb money.
Who would want to opt out of that?
But any concern that he opts out and thinks he can get, you know, another 20 or 30 million?
Hey, he's had a terrific season for us. He's been a great national, and you know, we think, and we, you know, I know that he is comfortable here. He loves it here in Washington D.C. He's moved his, you know, he's sold his place in San Diego and lives here full time, and he is he's a Washingtonian. And you know, he negotiated that aspect of the contract into his contract, and he has, you know, every right to contemplate opting out if he were to incline to do so. And you know, we love having him here. I think he likes being here, and he's made this his home. So we'll we'll have those discussions after season and see what his thought process is. But you know, I like. Every time Strauss is on the mound, I think I like our chances to win that game, and I think he likes it here, and I think he loves his teammates and the atmosphere that we have here, and I'm confident that he'll be a national.
Just a couple of little updates. Give us the latest on Suzuki, and then where are we in terms of sort of Doolittle returning back to his form to the point where you guys feel comfortable as a closer again?
Well, I think Doolittle, you see him making incremental improvements each and every time out. His velocity is starting to get back to where we want it to be. He's had, I think, three outings since he's come off the disabled list and has pitched a little bit better each and every time he's come out. I think he feels more comfortable. As you can see, he's kind of tweaked his delivery, going back to his former delivery, where he has a little bit of a hesitation at the top of his delivery, so he's feeling good about himself, which is a good thing for us. His velocity is coming back; he feels great. I think his body is refreshed, and I feel that he's been getting more and more leverage type of situations. If you've noticed the way that Davey's mm-hmm. been using him, so I think that he's well on his way to being where he wants to be towards the end of the season. And Suzuki, he had a little forearm tenderness in his arm. So we, you know, obviously at his age and how much mileage he's got on his arm, we've been really careful with him. We want him to be fully healthy and able to catch, as we finish this season off. So he's feeling good, though. The MRI came back clean, which made him feel better and sleep better. So we're just, he just needs a little rest. He's taking some anti-inflammatories for his elbow and forearm. So he's able to pinch hit right now, and he's going to, start playing catch and throwing the ball soon. So I expect him to make a full recovery, and like I said, he's able to hit right now.
Mike, Kim W. from Waldorf, Maryland. Is banking on the cycle tonight with Burke and Herbert Bank. Kim's already taken home a $100 gift card. But if any Washington baseball player hits for the cycle during tonight's game, she's also going to take home $100,000. That's all courtesy of Burke and Herbert Bank. Enter for your chance to bank on the cycle during next Wednesday's game. Get details at thefandc.com/contests. Best of luck tonight, Mike. Always appreciate talking to you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. Talk to you next week.
That's Mike Rizzo of the Nationals.
So it's been a tough stretch, but they still have that wild card spot. And right now, we're going to hook up caller number 10 with tickets to go see the Nationals take on Atlanta this Saturday at Nats Park. Be one of the first 20,000 fans 21 years of age or older in the Nats Park for the game and take home a limited edition Oktoberfest Nationals beer stein. Tickets on sale now at nationals.com, courtesy of the Washington Nationals. You can get more details at fandc.com/contest. Again, 10th caller at 800-636-1067. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, you can join me and Cakes on Sunday, Glory Days Grill in Alexandria for the Sports Junkies pregame show. Kicks off at 11 o'clock. Have some great food, have some beers, and get ready for Redskins Cowboys on Sunday.
Yep, get ready for
Glory Days Grill in Alexandria. All right, join us right now to talk a little Redskins. He writes for the Washington Post. It's our pal Neil Greenberg joining us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, Neil?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good morning, Mr. Greenberg.
So it's interesting that you write about the Redskins' defensive line because so many callers called in and just assumed this is going to be a top 10 defense, the Alabama wall, great defensive line, but you're saying that the facts and the numbers may show something otherwise, right?
Yeah, matter of fact, the defense hasn't been good for a couple of years, or at least it's been very underwhelming. And, fans were pretty much parroting what the coaching staff was saying, right, and the players, and how this defense was a Super Bowl-caliber defense, top 10, top 5 defense. But they've had a lot of trouble, especially stopping the run. And you know, when you're looking at teams being able to control the pace of play on the ground, obviously that translates into all other problems. So, the Alabama wall has been a sham for a couple years. Jonathan Allen, I think, gets a little bit overhyped in terms of how much production he adds to the team. And I just think overall this is a substandard defense that, when you think about it, really needs to play over its head to compensate for an offense that probably will struggle for a little bit.
Wow, you're down on Allen.
Well, here's the thing. If you look at the article, and he's got it broken down, and, you know, I don't know what to make of it because it completely belies sort of what you think. But he's got Allen's impact on the Skins last year, the pressure rate, stuff rate, all of that. Go through some of that where you show that actually, if you look at it statistically, they actually do slightly better in some instances with him off the field. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, so,
I'm not even sure I do believe it, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Numbers don't lie.
So I asked Sports Info Solutions, who's a data warehouse, but they supply like Pro Football Focus with their raw numbers and things like that. So I asked them to look specifically at Jonathan Allen's impact in 2018, a year that he was fully healthy. And, like you said, I mean, the pressure rate versus all opponents when he was on the field was 36%, but it was 39% when he was on the sideline for a play. They stopped 15% of rushers out of the line of scrimmage with Jonathan Allen on the field, but 18% on the sideline. So a slight improvement there with Adam. And specifically against the Cowboys, those rates are also better when he is healthy, but not on the field for a play. And I think that to me was the biggest contradiction based on what we've heard. We hear that how Allen is so good, but the numbers just don't back that up. And I think go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, well, what about, was it 2017 then, where he played a few games and then missed a bunch? What was the year where
he only played 5 games in 17?
Yeah, he played a couple of weeks there.
So do that analysis. I'd like to see that. The 5 games, right, with him and then the others without him.
Right. So they had that defense was actually improved. So there was actually some improvement there. You look at for the first 5 weeks when he was on the field, the pressure rate was 43%. Without him, it was 36%. The stuff rate also was good, 19% to 17%. In the week 6 to 17, he was only on the field for 28 snaps. The pressure rate was a little bit lower, but again, the small sample size there. So in 2017, things were good. In 2018, for the full season, they weren't. So, you know, weeks one through five, is that a small sample size that's kind of making him look a little bit better? You know, obviously this last year the numbers weren't in his favor. So, and who knows what's going to happen this year because he's hurt, and who knows how effective he can be and when he's going to come back. So, I think at the very least, investing a first round pick should get you something that's close to being an impact player. And based on what we've seen so far with the performance on the field, both when he's on a play and not, when he's healthy, and his injury history, I think you can look at that first round pick and say, you know what, maybe it wasn't the best investment we could have made.
We're talking to Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. I'm not doubting your numbers, and you've done the research. What about, how many times is he double teamed?
You know, that's a great question, and that's something that I didn't look at. But if he is double-teamed, then theoretically it should free up someone else to make a play. So the numbers, I mean, is that really what's causing
really
the number
matter.
Down to him?
Right? Matter,
I mean, you have
right?
guys that are supposed to also be talented, right? Deron yeah. Payne, you have Kerrigan, you have other guys on that field and also last year that – if they were single team, I mean, if you're single teaming Ryan Kerrigan, then he should be able to make a play, and the numbers should bear that out in some way.
Yeah, I was just trying to shift the blame away from Allen if he was double teamed a bunch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's a great, and it was something that I did not inquire about, and it's certainly a valid question. But you would think that somebody somewhere would be able to make the play, and the team as a whole wouldn't be one of the worst in the NFL in terms of stopping the run, but also, you know, trying to get to the passer.
Neil, what Skins fans should really be concerned about, per your article, is the drop-off from Jonathan Allen to his backup, Tim Settle, who's going to see, you know, more playing time this Sunday with the Cowboys in town.
Right. Tim Settle will not be double teamed, right? I mean, that we can probably factor in. And also, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, his running style is right against the weakness of this team, especially up the middle. And, you know, Philadelphia's rushers were good, but Elliott and the offensive line of Dallas as a combination are going to be a much bigger handful for Washington's defense to deal with, especially on the run side. So I think that the Redskins are in trouble. I think that this game was pivotal to them for not starting 0-3 because they have Chicago coming up, whose defense is amazing. So I just think that overall this defense really needs to start living up to the hype because the margin of error that Washington has, especially early in the season, is close to zero. I mean, they just can't afford to start 0-3 because that historically would put you out of the playoffs, and then what are we even doing here?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who thinks they're going to the playoffs is delusional.
No, but a lot of people thought the over-under of six games, or what was it, six and a half, six games,
yeah.
You know, the over was at least a realistic possibility, possibly even getting to 8-8. I've advocated for the under since the number came out, but this team just has too many problems. And if the one bright spot, which by all accounts, anyone you ask for, fans, pundits, whatever, was supposed to be the run defense or at least the defensive line, I mean, that to me is smoke and mirrors. I mean, this team has not a lot to build on. I know it's kind of a downer at 9:30 in the morning, but, you know, that's the reality of the situation.
Scary.
So I actually love the Cowboys minus the 4.5 or 5. I think it's just a bad matchup, especially if Allen's not playing. I guess they're.
Well, he said it would be better without him.
I guess they're going to get Jordan Reed back. I just think that up front, Dallas is so much better on both ends. You know, on both sides of the ball.
Absolutely, they're. I mean, they're a Super Bowl contender for a reason.
Yep.
They have Philadelphia and Dallas have the two best offensive lines per Pro Football Focus, which, you know, grades these type of things. And if you're not going to be able to dominate the line of scrimmage, you're going to have problems. And I think Washington's going to have a host of problems. I, too, like Dallas, even though they're giving up some points.
Neil, let's talk about something more uplifting. I'm looking at your article on fantasy football that you put out yesterday about week two waiver advice. You said get Hollywood Brown and Malcolm Brown, the backup to Todd Gurley. Two names that you clearly also have to add. You have one of them pictured in Jamison Crowder, who was targeted 17 times by Sam Darnold, and a lesser-known name, Mecole Hardman, the rookie in Kansas City, with the breaking news now that Tyreek Hill expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think the Jamison Crowder one is interesting because Adam Gase loves the slot receivers. And, you know, I think that we saw just how much he was going to use. I mean, 17 targets in a game is probably not sustainable going forward. Right. But even if he had half that many, I mean, he still would be one of the most targeted receivers of the season. And targets are what gets you fantasy football opportunities. So I think, yeah, I mean, he was definitely a guy I tried to get on the waiver wire. I ended up not being able to get him. You know, like you said, I think there's a lot to like for Darren Waller, a tight end for Oakland, considering the upheaval that they had. He's another guy that I think got a lot of targets for a tight end, and will probably be, Derek Carr loves his tight end. I mean, Jared Cook was his most targeted receiver last year. So I think that both those players especially are two that I would nab. And I think we're always looking for running backs, and Malcolm Brown seems to be the guy behind Todd Gurley, who, as we all know, is one knee issue away from not suiting up to play.
We did a lot of skins in the first hour and a half or so, and we talked about the, you know, there's always drama around this team, but certainly the Peterson-Geis stuff, sprinkling Gruden there. And I guess there's a rumor that I guess one of the players said everyone in the building thought that Peterson was a better player than Geis, even though Gruden went with Geis and said that the offense. Except for Gruden, right. Where do you stand on that? Obviously, Peterson's going to play this week. Who knows about Geis when he'll be back? But where do you stand on if the entire roster, which I don't believe, by the way, but most of the team thought that Peterson was the better player except for Gruden? Where do you stand on that?
I stand on that Peterson is getting older and running backs do not age well. And you have a young running back that you invested draft capital in, and you need to see what he can do. I think the biggest challenge to any running back on the Redskins roster is the team's not very good and won't have many opportunities to run. The Redskins, like most teams in the NFL, run more when they have a lead, and there just doesn't seem to be a lot of optimism that this team will be able to hold a lead for very long. You look at what happened against the Eagles in the first week. They ran the ball 8 times when leading by 4 or more, 3 times when the score was within 3 points, and then only twice when they were trailing by only 4 points or more. I mean, it's very feasible that the Redskins are trailing early and often against the Cowboys. So how many first down rushes do you really have in a game for a guy like Peterson or Geis to even make that sort of determination? I think, you know, anytime you have a young running back that is supposed to be good versus an old running back that used to be good, I personally would always give the nod to the young running back to at least see what he can do, because he's your future and Peterson is not.
Well, some might argue that the old running back was actually good last year.
He was. I mean, he certainly carried the ball a lot, but I think. I don't know if the production, I mean, the production was what it was.
It was hit or miss. I think he averaged, though, about 4.2 yards per carry overall.
He certainly did. And, you know, that's admirable. How often do you think a running back over 30 years old is going to be able to turn in that type of performance?
No,
I mean,
rarely.
It just
doesn't happen often.
Right. So if you're going to, you know, if we're looking at this from a risk reward standpoint, it always makes sense to go with the younger running back, because the ceiling's higher and the risk is lower versus Adrian Peterson. You already know what you're going to get.
The problem is it's tough to defend Geis, and I would agree with all of what you said. I would certainly go with the guy drafted in the second round, but it's tough to defend a guy who's never available.
Right, and I'm actually surprised Gruden make that call, because if we're talking about this, obviously he knows all this, right? He knows what the sentiment will be in the locker room, and he also knows the questions that are asked. I mean, he's in the most win now situation possible in terms of job security. So for him to go out on a limb, I think on Geis, certainly suggests where his head is at. But I think the way that they went about it, now you have to turn back to Peterson and be like, oh, yeah, we had belief in him all along. You know, that to me is probably more detrimental than making him inactive in the first place. So who knows what we're going to see on Sunday.
Well, you know, AP believes in himself. That's
why he's successful, right? I mean, you can't be successful if you don't believe in yourself, because no one's going to believe in you more than you believe in yourself. And absolutely, that's what made him successful. And you never want the guy that says, you know what, I should be inactive. I mean, that guy gets cut every time. You don't want to.
I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be what he was last year. He'll have some great weeks and he'll have some duds. I mean, just
but the great weeks. Don't you think the great week's going to come when the Redskins are ahead and he has more opportunities to move the ball?
Course,
so I think that's going to be limited. But I guess we'll see. I mean, it's football. Strange things happen. I mean,
look, the fact of the matter is he's the exception, right? Nobody lasts as long as he does.
Without a doubt.
So he's the exception. You never know.
And I've learned not to bet against those type of guys, right? Yeah. Peterson, Ovechkin, like guys of that caliber. They defy age for a reason.
Yeah,
and
they're freaks.
I'm more concerned with the situation that Peterson's in than I am his ability to produce.
Right, right.
All right. So,
thank you, Neil. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yep. All right. This is Neil Greenberg, everybody, from the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff on Jonathan Allen.
Hard to imagine. I mean, I just
got 8 sacks last year.
I'm just going to say small sample size overall. Even though it's 16 games, there's still not that much. That over
by the
career,
way, that's also another guy
switch.
That I'm not saying he's going to miss a bunch of time this year, but he's already going to miss this week.
Oh, he's got injury history.
He missed 10 games or so in his rookie year.
Got an injury history.
Yeah.
All right, what's your lead on your entertainment page?
Oh, my God, I've already forgotten. Let me see. You know what? We'll get in a little bit more about the Apple iPhone that's out there.
My daughter wants one. Both of them.
I find that to be fascinating. We'll get into that. All right, don't go anywhere.
All right, we're not bumping the entertainment page, EV, but these guys say that we
shocker.
They say we have to play audio of AWOD and Cakes consummating the bet. Though I wrote down $20 in the bet book, there may be some additional information.
There's a discrepancy.
Oh, really? Do we also hear how sort of vociferously Adam defends the U.S. team and how sort of into it he is?
Yeah. I would assume that's all part of it.
Let me see what you got.
Do people care about this event?
Cakes, I'm butt-sized. And
you are?
You're crazy if you think they're not going to win gold. They're still America. They got Jason Tatum. They've got a lot of talented guys on the team.
I mean, Jason Tatum's a nice player. He's not LeBron James in his prime.
Jason Tatum should be like one of the last players.
You
want to
bet me that they win gold? I'll take the field.
Oh, yes. $50.
You're on.
It's Team USA, Cakes.
You're on. I'll take it.
So USA has never lost in the Olympics?
Valdez, remember that he made that asinine bet.
He bet. Right, hold
on. So you wrote it wrong.
It down.
It's 50
unless
bucks.
Unless later AWOD, they bumped it down.
Here's an
50
update.
50
bones.
AWOD is a man of honor.
Yeah.
And he's already shipped me the money to my Venmo account.
He already sent you 50?
50 bucks right there.
I have terrible handwriting. Sometimes a two could
maybe it was a 5 year.
My advice to you going forward, don't be so rash with your bets and don't bet 50. The typical bet on this show is like $1 or $2.
I know, but that's how confident he was.
That's how he was very confident.
And you know, he's got money now.
He does have money.
Do you have any weekend tingles? Because I need to make this money back.
I don't have any weekend tingles, but you know, I'm glad you brought that up.
We always got tingles.
If any of the listeners have any tingles, send them to me at Money Metal Cakes because I'm going to be at the one and only sportsbook at Charlestown tonight.
I'm ready to play some bets. To defend Dum Dum over there, Tatum did miss the game.
Okay.
Right. I should have had an injury caveat.
You should have, but you
spell
didn't.
Caveat. No, I don't know. I don't know if Tatum. No chance.
Spell caveat. C-A-V-I-E-T. Caveat. It's a French word.
Cavity, which you have plenty of.
You know how to spell cava. That's about it.
So I already paid you 50.
Yeah, sorry, paid.
All right, good.
Good to go.
So Drabby wants me to bring up this photo Valdez took of himself at the MGM. I don't understand why.
This is Matt Valdez.
Valdez is taking a selfie of himself working out. Okay, I can get that. I understand that. I don't understand why he's sending it to Drabby and then saying, go ahead and Joan on me.
Was it shirtless?
It was shirtless.
While
and
you
that,
working out?
I woke up.
It's a post-workout
thing. I woke up in the morning.
And you felt silly?
Yeah, I walked over to get ready and head
over
here.
Good lighting?
It was, and the mirror was silly. It was a slimming mirror.
Yeah.
All right? And I thought I looked silly. All right? And then the Matt and Matt show needed some content for today.
They did, always.
So I've been keeping it for a rainy day.
Right.
And then today was a little rainy for the Matt and Matt show. And so I sent it to him, and I told Drab to roast me.
Right.
All right.
And he proceeded to roast me.
Well, did it hurt your feelings? See, I just roasted Kevin last week, and I'm still smarting from that. I'm still feeling bad.
He's fine.
Yeah, you've lost your fastball. A little bit. I feel bad.
I texted Kevin. He's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just putting up a brave front. I don't know, but he seemed okay.
Well, I just think, first of all, Valdez has just boulders on his shoulder.
This
and I'm,
is Matt
and
Valdez.
I am jealous.
You're
of
jealous
that.
Of his big shoulders.
Yeah, but it looks like he's going to the gym for 2 hours and only doing shrugs.
Yeah. Right.
Because
his... Well, he has a power lifter's body, is what I would say. Right?
Well, he's...
I haven't seen the picture.
He's got liposuction scars. I'm positive.
Does he? Okay.
There is like a sort of a bizarre scar that he seems to have under his belly. What is
that? Where does that come from?
It's, like not a, it's not a scar. It's
Did
a
you
dent.
Send the picture to McKinney?
Yeah, I sent it to him.
Is he going to put it up on NBC Sports Washington?
Tell Caroline not to get worked up.
You've got a bucky under your tummy? What is the scar from?
It's not a scar. It's just
it's a dent. I think it's just like a fat dent.
Yeah, it's just a fat dent.
Yeah. These guys were talking about like a lower nipple or something.
No. Do you have an extra nipple that we don't know about?
No, he's joning on my nipples for being tilted.
No, it's just like sliding off his chest down to the ground somehow.
It's just
it looks like a funny pic. His nipples run over by a semi.
I mean, because Matt is a big, strong guy, but what my advice to Matt would be, that we all look better clothed.
Why
I know
did you send
I know we do.
Yeah, we look better clothed.
I thought I
you
looked silly.
Better in a t-shirt.
And then looking at that picture motivates me.
Did you send it to your wife?
No, I haven't.
Did you send it to your Drab's wife?
No, I haven't. But I know deep down if Sarah sees that picture,
she's going to be
psyched.
all of a sudden, Drab doing boot camp 5 days a week.
The problem is the picture's a mixed bag. It's coming up. It's a mixed bag.
I don't know if I want to see this.
Yeah, but then you see just kind of that blob.
If I know you, turn away.
It reminds me of Tiger's picture.
Yeah, it's kind of like
Tiger's definitely like Tiger's picture.
It feels a little intimate. It feels a little pornographic, almost.
At Locke, there's some in his gallery with his dong hanging out. We just haven't seen those ones.
Didn't get set.
He just didn't send you that one. How come it's not showing up? That. We're on delay over
with
here.
With the vitiligo.
Yeah, if you look over there, Jason, over...
I think Doug is having sympathy for me.
What is Doug saying?
I don't know. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it's definitely there.
I look kind of silly.
It looks good from afar.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It looks good on like a 32-inch TV, not a 65-inch.
Jesus, what is it? A 3-minute delay?
The screen size down.
The world's longest delay. The thing is, also, he's got weird, like small nipples.
You don't look like
small breasts.
Yeah,
and I definitely have small nipples.
A big waist.
Yeah.
So, does he have man boobs or not?
No.
It's kind of weird.
No, but they're weird. They look like they want to be. They want to be.
They're fighting. I'm fighting the man boob hard.
In 10 years, they're going to be.
By the way, you didn't do yourself help by lowering your pants that low.
Yeah. Well, I sauntered over.
Is, you have the man where we all accumulate fat
right
around our belly.
I thought I looked silly right before I was getting ready to brush my teeth.
Right.
And I said, I gotta capture this.
You walked out of the water closet. You said, "I look swole."
You
I'm
need to get one of those
of
Kim Kardashian like things where they
not photoshopped.
Yeah. Well, like they get kind of photoshopped,
unfiltered.
Their waist
really? Not photoshopped. I never would have guessed.
Right.
You're very. By the way, you're very.
Hair's banged
you're
up.
Not hairy. You're very unhairy.
I can't. I have zero chest hair back there.
Chest hair. Did you adjust the pants that
no.
for a reason?
No, because I woke up and I sauntered over, and I think they kind of...
He just thought I looked silly.
I just thought I looked silly.
He just has small boobs.
they're kind of
small. Because you're a big guy, but you have like a small chest. You know what I'm saying? Like the muscle area of your chest is kind of small.
See, now he's going to be obsessed with them. They look bigger.
Now I got to go do chest day 3 days
chest
a week.
They kind of look like two plums.
Right.
You know
they kind of look like avocados.
It's not like a big, broad chest. Like, he's a big, broad guy.
You got two plumlies
got this small
on your chest.
Mason and Miles.
Right. Who's the third plumlie? I can't remember. Why don't you just join the military?
Marshall
Plumlie. Why don't you just join the Army?
Yeah. I mean, I just would think for a guy that basically lives at Gold's Gym, he would look like Big Papa Pump when he takes his shirt off and not have two tiny man boobs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the Jonah is.
Take your shirt off there. C-cup. Yeah. Drab C-cup.
I think he looks like he has like a power lifter's body. I'm saying, if that's what the look he's going for, then he's good. Is that good? Is that a compliment?
What?
It's kind of a compliment.
I thought I looked silly.
I think it's kind of a compliment.
I think you look silly. From, like, above the nipples.
Yeah, that's exactly what Drab said.
Your shoulders and your traps are good. You probably got to tighten up shop below.
It starts to fall apart as soon as you see the boobs. And then it just gets worse.
But yeah. You're a guy, and guys are supposed to look earthy.
That's probably true.
You look better with your shirt on.
I think I look silly, and I'll say that 10,000 times.
You have.
And being yourself.
Somebody said
being around Adam makes me feel silly.
Yeah. We all look better with our clothes on. Everybody does.
That is true. Drop just tweeted the picture, if you're curious, at Drop T-shirt.
That was sent to him in confidence.
All over the world.
We need to get sure out of here. Grant and Danny, they're coming up next.
Little thing,
right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.